rabies, which I call the bread and butter disease of all of zoonoses.
Thank you. All right, good morning, or good afternoon, I guess. All right, so my name is Grace Marks, as was mentioned, and today I'll be talking about our rabies exposure data after adoption of the 2016 Rabies Compendium. Last month, in May 2017, two dogs tested positive for rabies in Colorado after two separate attacks by rabid skunks. These were the first cases of rabies in a pet dog since an imported case in 2003 and the first locally acquired case in a dog since 1974. So far in 2017 in Colorado, 48 animals have been identified with confirmed rabies, and these 48 animals have exposed 56 domestic pets, 22 livestock, and 19 people. Rabies is a Lyssa virus, which is often described as bullet-shaped when visualized with an electron microscope, as shown in the image on the right. The rabies virus is a neurotropic virus, which means that it specifically attacks the nervous system. Rabies infection is nearly almost always fatal. All mammals are susceptible, although specific virus variants are endemic in different wild species in the U.S., which are referred to as rabies reservoir species and are listed here. Transmission to other wild animals, pets, and humans is incidental and sporadic. The major rabies reservoir species are distributed in distinct geographic regions in the U.S., as can be seen here. It is notable that the bat rabies reservoir species is not shown in this map, as it is present throughout the U.S. except Hawaii. This geographical distribution of rabies reservoir species does shift over time, as is shown by the difference in fox distribution in the southwest between 2014, shown in the solid line, and 2013, shown in the dashed line. In the Denver metropolitan area, represented by the green star here, the most common rabies variants in circulation are the bat and skunk variants. Rabies is transmitted through the saliva of rabid animals. The virus spreads through the nerves to the spinal cord and brain. Because of how the virus travels, the location of the bite is really critical. Bites that occur far from the brain, for example, a bite to the leg, as shown here, means that the virus has a longer distance to travel before reaching the brain, which in turn means a longer incubation period. The typical incubation period of rabies in pets is 3 to 12 weeks. When the virus reaches the brain, the virus multiplies rapidly, spreads to the salivary glands, and the animal begins to show signs of disease. At this point, death in pets is inevitable and occurs within 10 days. Rabid animals are often agitated and show other abnormal behavior. Signs of rabies also include loss of appetite, seizures, paralysis, and excessive salivation. Rabies in the U.S. has changed really dramatically over the last 100 years. In this graph, the number of animals is seen on the y-axis and years on the x-axis. Dogs are in blue, cattle in green, and cats in red. As you can see, the sharpest decline has been in the canine population. Before 1960, the majority of reported rabid animals were in domestic animals. Today, more than 90% of all cases reported to the CDC occur in wildlife. Reduction of rabies in domestic animals, and by extension in humans, has been achieved through widespread pet vaccination programs and reduction of canine strays. Rabies vaccine should be given to all cats, dogs, ferrets, and horses, as well as to domestic livestock in close contact with humans. Multiple vaccine products are available and marketed in the U.S. The recommended age at primary vaccination is usually 3 months, although there is some variability depending on vaccine product. Booster vaccinations are recommended 1 year after the primary vaccination, and then every 1 or 3 years, again dependent on the vaccine product used. Post-exposure prophylaxis is not available for pets. Providing accurate and timely recommendations after potential rabies exposures in pets is the responsibility of public health agencies. This work requires working closely with a variety of stakeholders, including concerned pet owners, local vets, multiple animal control agencies, local environmental health departments, and the Department of Agriculture. Management of exposed pets is often complicated by challenges in coordination between these stakeholders and often by the often heterogeneous management protocols across the different involved agencies. In an effort to address some of those challenges, the Compendium of Animal Rabies Prevention and Control is published by the National Association of State Public Health Veterinarians. The compendium provides recommendations for animal rabies prevention and control programs in the U.S. and is meant to facilitate standardization of procedures across jurisdictions. The compendium is updated regularly. The most recent compendium revision was released in March 2016, and prior to that, the most recent compendium was published in 2011. The compendium outlines a standard approach to help guide public health recommendations that are made after a pet is potentially exposed to rabies. First, the exposure needs to be clearly defined. Was the contact between the two animals such that rabies transmission could have taken place? Also, what's the risk of rabies in the offending animal? If the offending animal is a rabies reservoir species, such as a raccoon, skunk, fox, or bat, then the risk of rabies exposure increases. Second, what is the vaccination status of the exposed pet? If the pet is unvaccinated, the recommended course of action is euthanasia. If the pet owner is not amenable to euthanasia, strict quarantine is the alternative. If the pet is current on rabies vaccination, the recommendation is home observation. The 2016 compendium had three major changes to the management of pets after a potential rabies exposure compared to the prior 2011 compendium. The changes are illustrated in this table. First, to orient you, the first column shows the vaccination status of the pet: unvaccinated, overdue for a booster, or currently vaccinated. The second column lists the old recommendations in the 2011 compendium, which can be compared to the third column, the new 2016 recommendations. The first major change was that the duration of strict quarantine in unvaccinated pets was decreased from 6 months to 4 months. The second major change was that the definition of pets overdue for rabies vaccine booster was clarified, and management of these animals was stratified by availability of vaccination documentation. For pets with documentation of at least one prior rabies vaccine, there was introduction of a 45-day home observation, which was a major change from the prior compendium, which simply recommended that management should be determined on a case-by-case basis, which created a lot of gray area open to interpretation. In Colorado, animals overdue for a booster were previously defined as having had at least two vaccinations, and the exposure protocol was a 90-day quarantine. Animals with only one vaccine were managed as unvaccinated. And third, the 2016 compendium recommends that for pets in which the owner can only provide a verbal history of vaccination but no valid documentation, they be managed either the same as unvaccinated or using a new protocol called prospective serologic monitoring. Of note, no changes were made for pets currently vaccinated, which entails a 45-day home observation. So for the non-veterinarians in the room, like me, there's a big difference between strict quarantine and home observation. This is strict quarantine. The pet is in a cage without direct contact with other animals or humans. This can also be costly, as it is typically done at a veterinarian or animal control facility and can cost the owner up to $50 a day. As you can see, that's in stark contrast to home observation, where the pet is allowed freedom at home while being monitored for illness compatible with rabies. As mentioned, prospective serologic monitoring is a new option for pets with reported but undocumented prior vaccination. This is an effort to avoid unnecessary euthanasia or strict quarantine after exposure to confirmed or suspected rabies. This new method is based on studies from Kansas State University that demonstrate that pets with prior rabies vaccine mount a strong anamnestic or secondary immune response within days following the administration of a booster rabies vaccine. The process requires that the pet be seen by a veterinarian within 96 hours of exposure, which is day zero. During that visit, serum from the pet is collected and a rabies booster vaccine is administered. Then a second visit needs to occur between 5 and 7 days later, when a second serum sample is collected from the pet. Both samples are then sent to an approved rabies laboratory for testing of rabies serology. While awaiting the result, the pet must be kept in strict quarantine. An increase in titer, as interpreted by the testing laboratory, suggests that the pet had been previously vaccinated to rabies, and the pet can therefore be spared euthanasia or strict quarantine. In order to effectively and efficiently incorporate the new recommendations of the 2016 compendium, Tri-County Health Department formed an internal rabies work group that worked over a period of almost 18 months. This work group had three main objectives. First, to update protocols and processes for conducting rabies investigations and rapidly incorporate guidelines from the new compendium. Second, to create a new internal database for tracking animal bites and rabies testing. And third, to improve coordination with the community stakeholders, as mentioned before, by building consistent recommendations, clarifying roles, and enhancing relationships to streamline these processes. So as an early adopter of the 2016 compendium, we at Tri-County Health Department sought to quantify how our management of pets potentially exposed to rabies changed under the new compendium guidelines. This study evaluates the first 12 months of our management of pets exposed to suspected or confirmed rabies after adoption of the 2016 compendium, which covered the time period May 2016 through April 2017. Each potential rabies exposure was categorized by pet vaccination status, rabies testing result of the offending species if available, and pet outcome. During May 1, 2016 and April 30, 2017, a total of 886 animal bites with concern for rabies exposure were reported to Tri-County Health Department. Of these, 778 cases were excluded from the analysis because most of these were bites to humans, or because the biting animal was not a rabies reservoir species, or because it was deemed there was not sufficient contact for rabies transmission to have occurred. This left us with 108 cases that were pet cats or dogs with suspected or known rabies exposure. This graph shows the vaccination status of those 108 pets. Starting on the right and moving clockwise, about half were currently vaccinated, represented in green. A currently vaccinated pet was a pet that had documentation of at least one prior vaccine, which is up to date at the time of the exposure. About another third were overdue for a booster, but had documentation of at least one prior vaccine, which is represented in blue. Only two pets were overdue for a booster and without documentation, as shown in yellow. Unvaccinated pets are represented in red and represented less than a fifth of all exposed pets. This graph illustrates the rabies laboratory testing outcome of the offending animal if it were available. In 17 of 108 cases, shown in red, the offending animal tested positive for rabies. 33 cases tested negative for rabies, shown in green. And in 58 of cases, laboratory testing for rabies was not available, which is shown in blue. The cases in which the offending animal tested negative for rabies, the recommendation was no quarantine, given that exposure to rabies had not occurred. Excluding those cases in which the offending animal tested negative, this left us with a study population of 75 pet cats or dogs that had known or suspected rabies exposures. This graph illustrates the management for pets with known or suspected rabies exposure under the two compendium guidelines. The number of pets is shown on the y-axis, and pet management is shown on the x-axis. In red is shown the management of our study population of 75 pets according to the 2016 updated rabies compendium. In gold is shown the management for these 75 pets as they would have been according to the old 2011 compendium. As you can see, implementation of the 2016 compendium led to shorter quarantine periods, as shown by this arrow, given that unvaccinated pets whose owners chose quarantine over euthanasia underwent 4 months of strict quarantine instead of the 6 months recommended by the old compendium. Similarly, pets overdue for a rabies booster who would have been given 3 months quarantine under the 2011 compendium instead were given a 45-day home observation, as shown by this arrow and represented by the block of dashed lines here. Pets who were current on the rabies vaccine at the time of exposure underwent 45 days of home observation under the guidelines of both compendiums, as represented by the outlined blocks. As you can see, this recommendation did not change with the 2016 updated compendium. So in summary, in the first year after we adopted the 2016 compendium, management changed in 36% of pets reported to Tri-County Health Department after a known or suspected rabies exposure. These changes resulted in these pets undergoing 2,370 less days in quarantine. It is notable that in applying the new compendium guidelines, no pets developed rabies disease while in quarantine or under observation. And finally, despite over 100 potentially exposed pets during this study period, we did not have the opportunity to employ prospective serologic monitoring. This is mostly due to the fact that pet owners were highly motivated to find documentation of prior vaccination when faced with potential euthanasia or strict quarantine of their pet. Only two cases were overdue for a booster without documentation, which could have made them eligible for PSM. However, both had negative rabies testing of the offending animal, and so no quarantine was recommended. Our local experience of adopting the compendium was that the new recommendations lead to shorter duration of pet quarantine. These changes also led to more positive interactions with pet owners who naturally want to spare their pets these interventions. Finally, given that management differs so dramatically based on documentation of prior vaccination, we found that pet owners were very motivated to find and provide these records to us, which led us to have more opportunities for informed decision-making when providing public health recommendations. The study is subject to at least two limitations. First, these data are from one local health department, which may limit generalizability. Second, some of our cases may not have actually been exposed to rabies virus, thus potentially exaggerating the successful outcomes that we report here. Our recommendation is that public health agencies should rapidly align their rabies policies with the updated 2016 compendium, which carefully incorporated new scientific data to support a shortened duration of strict quarantine and relying on booster vaccination to provide a protective anamnestic serologic response in pet animals. So I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors from the Tri-County, two of which are here today, as well as these individuals from the CDC. Thank you, Chris. I forgot to show my conflict, no conflict of interest. Slide.
Thank you very much. So we definitely have time for questions, so go ahead.
Hey.
Hi.
Amanda from Georgia again. So we also adopted early the recommendations, and we're super grateful for it. But one of the concerns we have in updating our compendium is we don't want to encourage people to not vaccinate their animal mm-hmm. or not keep it up to date because of this. And I'm just kind of curious. It sounds like you guys did put out a new compendium. I still have mine in review because of that reason. So I'm curious what your thoughts are on that and how you guys, you know, presented this information without potentially encouraging people not to keep their animal up to date.
Yeah, so, you know, the question, of course, is why would you incorporate the new guidelines you might be inadvertently recommending to pet owners not to vaccinate their pets? Because there's this other option for unvaccinated or overdue pets. And I think I would just say, in all cases, it's still a lot cheaper to get your pets vaccinated. And it sure is it's a lot less heartache because it's very, you know, traumatic to kind of go through this process not knowing what you're, even if you do prospective serologic monitoring, for example, there's still a time lapse in which you don't know what the outcome will be. The pet's in strict quarantine. You're having a lot of visits to the vet, which is incurring cost. The pet is in strict quarantine during that period of time, which is expensive. So I think the bottom line that we've had is just get your pet vaccinated, and actually that this would encourage vaccination and certainly better vaccination record keeping. And so it's actually made it a lot easier for our EPIs to have these conversations with under the new compendium guidelines because it's made these processes a lot more clear.
Hi, thank you for a great presentation. I'm Rebecca Sonnenschein. I'm CFO with Maricopa County, Arizona. And we've had a number of calls with cat bites that are associated, and I am not a veterinarian, there's some official word for this, but they're cat species that are mixed with wild tiger species or lion species. Chris, what are they?
Hybrids.
They're hybrids. And we always end up just going crazy over what to do with these. Have you had any of these, and are you treating them as wild animals, or are you treating them as cats?
So in the data that I looked at over this year-long period in which we've had this pretty pretty strict database that we're looking at. We didn't have any of those animals.
Oh, you didn't?
So I'm sorry, I can't shed light on that.
Okay, thank you.
Cat hybrids have not made it to Denver.